All righty, everybody, let's go ahead and find our seat and we'll get started with God's Word this morning. And hopefully it'll give you time to get home and come back and fellowship with us at the lodge if you don't have any plans this afternoon. We've been using the scripture out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 that lists the fruits of God's Spirit. The fruit of God's Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And I know I sound like a broken record, but I tell you what, I am just basking in how lovely God is. Amen to that. How lovely He is. The fruit of the Spirit is such a beautiful, beautiful list of the unchanging loveliness of God's constant nature toward us. Who would not want to be around someone who's full of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and humble and self-control? I mean, that's the epitome of a perfect person, and that's who God is. And it's just wonderful. And I hope whatever image that you've had in the past of somebody who's austere and mean and vindictive and demanding, I hope that gets washed away by the beautiful washing of God's Word. Because He is full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they paint such a beautiful picture of the nature and character of God. And they express Jesus Christ perfectly. He's unsurpassed in this expression of love, of joy, and all these different attributes. Last Wednesday, we talked about, we kind of relished the fact that the Lord has great faith. And this sounds strange because, you know, we think of faith as just mustering up the ability to believe. But God has great faith. Confidence, I guess, is a more accurate term, that what He started in you, He will complete. He'll perfect it. And I love that. The Bible says, and that gives me confidence that He has confidence in what He's doing in me. Amen to that? He has confidence in what He's doing in you. Sometimes you worry about where you're at in your walk with the Lord, how you're doing with the Lord, but if you can just rest in the fact that He has great confidence in His ability to complete and perfect the work in you, that should give you great hope. Amen? Great consolation. And so, the scripture says, whom He did foreknow, this is Romans 8, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. So He's talking about you there. Who He knew before you were formed in your mother's womb, He knew all your parts, and He fashioned them, and He has predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Wonderful. 1 Corinthians 15, as we born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So that gives us something, a great hope to look forward to. And 2 Corinthians 3, as we with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we've been taking each one of these attributes of the character, characteristics of God. And today we're looking at another unique one that we don't normally attribute to the character of God. And actually, it's despised in some degree because it is seen as a weakness most often. And the word is meekness. Meekness. That God, there's something meek about God. Now, I have to say the Lord is cute. Is that okay to say? Because he loves to mess with me a little bit. And so yesterday, I spent the whole day studying about God being a God of self-control, which is the ninth one. And right before I went to bed, I realized I had skipped meekness. And I thought, oh, great. I spent all day yesterday studying on self-control. And now I get to speak on meekness. I thought, how fitting is that? That I have to stand up here and humble myself in front of everybody and say, God is, that's what he treasures the most. Amen to that. And I thought, well, that's great because I'm going to be a living epistle in front of the church, and I'm just going to lay it all out there. I'm just as humble as I can be this morning. How's that sound to you? I haven't gotten you stirred up yet. The Lord hadn't got you stirred up yet. But this is true. The word is meekness, and we don't like that word because we associate meekness with weakness. And it's a little less offensive of a word is humble or humility. But even that we struggle with because we're a very prideful people. We're a very prideful people. Take pride in what we wear. We take pride in how we walk or talk, where we live. We're just a prideful people. We think meekness is weakness. And because we don't understand God in this way. And I'm asking the Lord, help us to deliver us from pride and arrogance and this false bravado. And help us just to be in that sweet spot, Lord, with you. Amen. And see you in all your glory. They say that the human species is the only species you can pat on the back and their head swells. The Bible says, and you have to understand, again, you know, this meekness and humility, this attribute of God is something that he cherishes. That he, because it's part of who he is. See, God, who's all powerful. All wise, all loving. He doesn't have to strut his stuff. Amen to that. So that's not even part of his equation. And so because that gets in the way of relationship. And the Lord is so intimate and desires to have such sweet fellowship with us that that this is part of his nature. I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 57. This is who God is. Isaiah 57, verse 15, it says, this is interesting, thus saith the high and lofty one. The high and lofty one. The one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him who is of a contrite and humble spirit. I dwell with him who is of a humble and contrite spirit to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Meekness is not weakness, but it's strength under control. Strength under control. Tough and tender. Jesus, even in his humanity, he was a carpenter's son. Back in those days, they didn't have pneumatic tools, power tools. He was a man's man. But he was tough, but children felt safe in his arms. Christ had all power and authority. Even at death, he could have called 10,000 angels And if you remember, one angel could whip about 650,000 people. We have Old Testament stories of that. He could have called 10,000 angels at his. He had all power and authority, but he held that power with temperance, with self-control and humility. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Sometimes I'm afraid we don't know who he is. Jesus, the Bible says, Hebrews 1, we quote this week after week. Listen to this. God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So who's Jesus? He's one who owns all things. Who being, by whom he made the worlds. Who made the worlds? Jesus made the worlds and all that is in it. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Who holds all things up by the word of his power? Jesus does. Amen to that? That's what the scripture says. And when he had by himself purged our sins on the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Who is Jesus? He's Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of his government and peace there shall be no end. Who is Jesus? He's everything. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. He's God. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So was the same was in the beginning with God. Who's this talking about? It's talking about Jesus. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Have I painted the picture correctly enough? Talk to me this morning. I know you want to go home, probably, but talk to me. Okay, have I painted the picture of how mighty and powerful he is? Okay, now listen to this. Jesus says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, meekness is not weakness, but is strength under control. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The opposite of meekness is pride. And so even when Jesus came to this earth, we quoted the passage, I think it's in Micah, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Jesus came to this earth as a child. And when he was coming to the cross, another prophet prophesied of him, Your king comes unto you, meek, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of an ass. Jesus is the personification of humility or meekness. And then Jesus didn't walk around with his head hung down. He wasn't a marshmallow. He wasn't non-confrontational sponge. He wasn't self-abashing. That's false humility. Meekness and humility is just forgetting about yourself so that you can focus on others meekness, humility is transparency. It's being completely honest with God and completely honest with man. And that's why God hates lying, by the way, is because lying covers up. And Jesus, God, the scripture says, he who covers his sins shall not prosper. So humility is being transparent. And so when you got a struggle, it's being real about it. It's being honest about it. It's being transparent. And of course, when you're transparent, it makes you a little bit vulnerable, doesn't it? Makes you vulnerable. But the thing about vulnerability is at least there's no facades. And that's my hope and prayer, my continual prayer for Last Chance Chapel. God, get rid of the facades. Amen to that. Help us be real. But we hate fake and phony people, especially when we see it in the mirror. We want to be transparent. We want to be vulnerable. And we want to take His Word at heart. Take His Word at heart. And so not just read it and say, oh, yeah, that's what it says, but tremble at His Word. Again, Isaiah 66, all these things hath my hand made, and all these things hath been. When he's talking about how God meted out the heavens, when he orders the stars in their courses, he says, all these things hath my hand made, and all these things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, or a humble spirit, humble heart, and trembles at my word. And so this scripture doesn't apply to me is the opposite of trembling at His Word. Trembling at His Word takes the Word seriously, and it responds to the Word. And so humility is transparency. It's vulnerability. It's trembling at His Word. It's being tender in attitude and heart. Being childlike. That's why I just love it. Have you noticed... I'm going to rant a little bit. Is that okay? Is it ranting time right now? These days, everybody's live streaming, right? They are. Churches all over the United States are live streaming. And it's always, getting the latest dress and the latest fashion and the best choir up there, but the best singers, it's almost kind of like they're coming out of a cookie cutter, okay? And I'm really digging a hole right now, by the way. Pray for me. and spotlights and smoke and all that kind of stuff, and it's just, and I just love it when we get a little girl up here who's singing her heart out and off a half a beat. It's just precious. Amen. We're in sync, aren't we? It's precious in the sight of God. Because there's no fakeness. There's vulnerability. There's transparency. There's tenderness. There's no facades. Jesus said, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of God. He gives more grace. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. Hallelujah. Humble yourself in the sight of God. I guess if there's one thing I love about preaching, it keeps me humble. Amen. Because I get up here and just say things I shouldn't say. And I go home and say, Gloria, why did you let me say that? It keeps me humble. Hallelujah. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and He will lift you up. We have nobody to please, except our Heavenly Father. Amen to that? And I want to please Him, and I know what pleases Him, and that has it's a humble spirit. A humble spirit, humility. It's a sweet, beautiful fragrance of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. 1 Peter 5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the other. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So the benefits of becoming like God in this area is the presence of God. He draws close. And He quits resisting because He resists the proud. It gives us the touch of God. It gives us the fragrance of God on our lives. The Bible says a man's pride will bring him low, but honor upholds the humble in spirit. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Even this is interesting. Even in 1 Peter chapter 3, when he's speaking of a woman, of wives, Peter said, whose adorning let it be not outward, but the hidden man of the heart, even an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. An ornament. What's an ornament? An ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. You mean a meek and quiet spirit is a decoration? It's something to be. It is, isn't it? But look at this. Well, look at the rest of this passage. It says, which in the sight of God is of great price. In the sight of God, it's a great price. Hallelujah. So humility really is the secret. The secret of success. The secret of favor with God and man. They say, we learned this in Bible school, that God, that Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody because he was raised in Pharaoh's palace and he was educated with all the wisdom of the Egyptians. So he spent the first 40 years thinking he was somebody. God had to take the next 40 years to show him he was a nobody on the backside of a desert caring for a few sheep. And then after he spent 40 years showing Moses that he was actually a nobody, God spent the next 40 years showing Moses what he can do with a nobody. Isn't that neat? So, in the silence, the backside of the desert, the silence of the desert and the blazing sun, God molded and shaped and humbled a man, not knowing that his failures were becoming the ingredients of his future success. And that what God was formulating in the backside of the desert, where he was all alone, and he felt so alone, he felt so deserted, felt like such a failure, what God was doing in the backside of that desert was actually putting the ingredients into Moses so that he could lead how many million people out of Egypt into the promised land. And again, the greatest ministry ever recorded came through an 80-year-old man, a mumbling recluse who had fallen from the pinnacle of Pharaoh's palace. He led millions. He penned the words that are foundational in three different religions, the largest religions in the world. And he had supernatural powers and provisions by his hand that was unmatched till this day. So beautiful, because Our destinies are determined during the silence of our lives, and it was the lonely and quiet times when he really embraced humility that God was able to use him mightily. See, the Bible says that Moses was very meek above all men that were upon the face of the earth. Has God changed? No, he hasn't. All these things have been, all these things hath my hand made, but to this man will I look, to him that is of humble heart and who trembles at my word. Jesus said, learn from me, learn from me, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and if you learn from me, you'll find rest for your soul. Would you stand up with me, please? Lord, it's amazing that you created all things. And yet, there's not an ounce of pride. Quite the opposite, Lord. You cherish humility in us. Meekness is one of the fruits that comes from your spirit. And God, when we see creation all around us, and Lord, and we see all the majestic things you have created, and how you hold things, Lord, by the word of your power, yet, Lord, you're so tender and caring and loving, and there's not an ounce of pride there, Lord. And that's what you want us to be. Lord, you want us to be like you, and we want to be like you. Deliver us, Lord, from ourselves. Deliver us from egotism, arrogancy, Lord, and self-exaltation. Deliver us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to have the fragrance of Christ, Lord, meek and lowly, so that we can find rest for our souls. We love you, Lord, and we choose this morning, we choose to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I spent all day yesterday studying about self-control, so you better come Wednesday night. I'm telling you that. No, I'm teasing. God bless you. Have a great day.